12:45. Let's go to the United States, shall we? Let's hear from Simon Marks, because a man you haven't had to report on just for a few short days, Simon, back in the news with us all today, one certain D. Trump Esquire.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, barely have we stopped covering him, Martin. And I think actually there's going to be a real challenge for the media going forward in terms of how much we do continue to cover him. But what he did yesterday was unprecedented in terms of American political history. None of us has been alive to witness a former president of the United States reinsert himself into the public debate and seize attention in the public arena just a matter of 5 weeks into his successor's term in office. But that is what Donald Trump did yesterday with this speech to the Conservative Political Action Conference in Florida, a clear attempt by the president to stake a claim to the future leadership of the Republican Party and to insist that his work is not over yet. I think we've got a clip of what Donald Trump had to say at that conference in Florida yesterday. Let's take a listen.
But who knows? Who knows? I may even decide to beat them for a third time, okay?
He teased them throughout that speech at the end, asking, who's going to be the person who runs for president? I wonder, who is it going to be? He did, interestingly, announce that he is not planning to create a third political party. He defined himself very much through the prism of Republican politics, but he absolutely drew a line in the sand, naming every single one of the Republicans in the House of Representatives who voted for his impeachment in the first place, and then the seven Republicans in the Senate who voted to convict him at his impeachment trial. And he told delegates at the conference it's time to get rid of them. He intends to try and oust them from their seats in the House of Representatives and the Senate, and he'll do that by endorsing other candidates loyal to him who may choose to engage in primary contests against them as we head towards their various battles with re-election. So this was Donald Trump handing the Republican Party leadership a massive challenge. You're with me or you are against me. And he said that he wanted people to fund his own political action committee, not the Republican Party's political action committee, his personal political action committee. So he's setting himself up to be an ongoing power base within the Republican Party, and that's going to be a huge challenge for the party itself. It's going to have to decide, is it absolutely now the party of Donald Trump?
Simon, can I ask you about one of the big beasts of the Democratic Party? And this is Andrew Cuomo, who is the Democratic mayor of New York City. He's had a very good coronavirus campaign, or at least he started off quite well. He seems to be in a bit of bother. Do tell us why.
Yes, he's the governor of New York State. But you're absolutely right, Martin. He was widely considered one of the heroes of the response to COVID-19 last year, when Donald Trump's government was doing nothing, minimizing the threat, failing to provide any meaningful public health guidance or assistance to individual states across the country. Andrew Cuomo stepped up and led New York and was able to beat back in very large measure the threat that the pandemic was posing in the state. At one point, remember, New York State was the global epicenter for COVID-19. Fast forward, about 11 months now, and he is in boatloads of political trouble. First of all, there's a scandal involving a cover-up of the number of nursing home deaths in New York relating to COVID-19. He was already being beleaguered by that, but now has come over the last week two separate women who have stepped forward, both of them absolutely former officials in his immediate inner circle, saying that they were on the receiving end of inappropriate language, inappropriate approaches, in the case of the first accuser, an inappropriate kiss. Governor Cuomo last night put out an absolutely painful statement saying, "I now understand that my interactions may have been insensitive or too personal, and that some of my comments, given my position, made others feel in ways I never intended. I acknowledge some of the things I have said have been misinterpreted as an unwanted flirtation. To the extent anyone felt that way, I am truly sorry about it." He described his language on occasion as playful, a word and phrases in that statement that have led many Democrats absolutely to grimace and to conclude that he still doesn't understand the scale of the crisis that he is facing. He adopted several positions over the weekend as the Attorney General in New York urged him to refer himself for investigation. She is a Democrat, the Attorney General, and I think really Governor Andrew Cuomo now finds himself living on borrowed time politically. And this is going to put President Biden in a bit of a bind because, as you said, Governor Cuomo is one of the most prominent Democrats out there, a man talked about as a possible future presidential candidate for the party. And the White House cannot continue day after day after day just to put out these anodyne statements saying the women have a right to be heard. I mean, sure, absolutely, we got that. But is President Biden going to stand by this man or is he going to call for him to go? I think absolutely now living on borrowed time.
And realpolitik striking on international affairs with President Biden, equivocating somewhat about the Saudis and avoiding outright condemnation.
Well, it's absolutely extraordinary. I mean, Friday, late in the evening UK time, the Biden administration declassified that intelligence report that clearly shows that Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was the prime actor in the murder and dismemberment of the Saudi-American journalist Jamal Khashoggi in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul back in 2018. They then listed 76 Saudi nationals who are now banned from getting a visa to visit the United States. And when everybody looked at the list of 76 names, the name Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince whom the intelligence report says was absolutely responsible for the killing of Jamal Khashoggi, was not on the list. This coming from a US administration that claims it's putting human rights on the front burner in terms of foreign policy, that what happened to Jamal Khashoggi was an outrage, that it was horrific, he must not be allowed to have died in vain. So we're going to be hearing more today from the Biden administration about the actions that they say they're planning to take against the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Let us see if any of those actions this time directly target the man that the US intelligence agencies say orchestrated this attack against the journalist, because there are Democrats now extremely worried, enormous criticism for President Biden over the weekend in various editorial columns by some traditional Democrat supporters working for non-governmental organizations here in Washington, D.C., and a real sense that President Biden hasn't met the standards that he set for himself. Also, of course, an echo in all of this, Martin, of what the Saudis initially did after Jamal Khashoggi was murdered, with Crown Prince Mohammed putting the death squad on trial, but not allowing any sanction to be taken against himself. There's wrinkles in all of this for President Biden as well, who spoke to Saudi Arabia's aging king, King Salman, on Thursday. President Biden insists he won't talk with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, but the US intelligence agencies suggest that Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's running the country. So how's that going to work if the President of the United States will not engage with the man who's running Saudi Arabia? And finally, there are questions in all of this for the Trump team, because this is the same intelligence report that former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, another speaker, by the way, over the weekend at that Conservative Political Action Conference down in Florida, he read the report And then he told reporters here in Washington at the time that there was absolutely nothing in it that pointed the finger of blame at Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. So huge questions for several members of the political elite in the United States, and officials from both administrations being assailed with criticism once again for, when it comes to the US relationship with Saudi Arabia, putting the money first.
Simon Marks reporting live from Washington. Thank you.
This is LBC News.